Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. Thank you for sharing this part of your day with us, and just happy to be with you. My name is Matt Kladnick, and thanks for being part of our church today. Hey, I would love to hear some of your Easter traditions. I think everyone's got some Easter traditions, so I'm really curious, Matt, maybe foods or activities. I'm just very curious. I know for us, because we've got three little girls, it is all about Easter egg hunting, so there's a good chance that I will be hiding the Easter egg. They will be finding the Easter eggs. I will be hiding the Easter eggs. They'll be finding the Easter eggs. And we'll do that several times over. So that's one of our traditions. At churches, a lot of times, especially on a Sunday like this, there's a little bit of an exchange between the pastor and the congregation. And kind of like the pastor says something, and the church naturally responds with a different statement. And it's like this: He is risen. Okay, so some of you, right after hearing he is risen, you said, risen indeed. Some of you did that. If you were raised in church, there's a good chance you did that. If you weren't raised in church, then you have no idea what just happened, but welcome to my world. So a lot of times pastors say, he is risen, and everyone will say, risen indeed. Well, I want to introduce you to a brand new tradition today, and when I say he is risen, I don't want you to say risen indeed. I want you to say something a little different. We're going to put a vintage faith little take on this whole thing, okay? So I'm going to say, he is risen, and you are going to say, follow with me now, you're going to say, boom shakalaka, that's what I'm talking about, okay? Did you get it? Write it down. Boom shakalaka, that's what I'm talking about, okay? So, ready? Are you ready? I'm going to say, he is risen, you're going to say that part. He is risen! Okay, there you go. Good job. Don't worry, keep that in your brain. You're going to need that later, because at the end of the service, I'm going to have you do the same thing. So, boom shakalaka, that's what I'm talking about. Today is a big day for us here at Vintage Faith. Actually, today is Tuesday. It's not even Easter where I am. Today is Tuesday as I record this sermon for you. But on Easter Sunday, we're actually having our first in-person service. So while many of you are enjoying our service here online, there are going to be some people here in person in our parking lot. So we're getting everything ready for that. It's going to be a busy week as we get ready for our in-person gathering. But those of you, my beautiful, wonderful online church, you actually get something special that our in-person service isn't going to get. There's a special treat for you. In just a moment, you're going to hear an amazing testimony from a couple in our church as part of our series called Testify. And over the last few weeks, we've been hearing from some of our church members about the unique ways that God has been at work in their lives and the unique story that God is writing in their life. And today, just for you, online audience, is that you are going to get to hear a testimony from the Buhlmans, from wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Bruce and Deborah Buhlman. So enjoy their testimony video, and I will be right back with you shortly as we continue our time together. Enjoy.
My faith journey started as I accepted Christ as a child. I understood, I think, from a very early age that the world brought trials and the world had things in life that were going to be unpleasant. And I felt like Jesus would just always be with me.
I guess my faith journey, I accepted Christ as a teenager. And then for years following, I struggled with things that had happened in my youth. And those things have caused issues both in our marriage and made things difficult when we were raising our family. But with God's faithfulness, he helped me overcome and drew me back to him. And therefore, about three years ago, I rededicated my life to Christ here at VFF. And I've had contentment and peace since. Well, most recently, back in April, Deb had what we thought was an incident. We didn't know what it was. And then the doctors initially thought it was a stroke. It just seemed to affect her right side of her body. And we didn't know what was going on. And she started some testing. And then in July, while she was at a doctor's appointment that her friend took her to, she started not doing well at the appointment. So all of a sudden, I'm at work and I get a call from our friend who took her. And she said, I don't know how to tell you this, but they had just taken Deb by way of ambulance to the hospital. And I don't know what's going on, but I'll fill you in as soon as I know something. You know, I'm used to doing things under my own power and my own strength a lot. And this time, that didn't work. I think the biggest thing after all that, you know, my heart was broken. As a guy, I like to fix things. And there was nothing I could fix. And it was so difficult for me to watch her in this condition and not being able to help.
I can honestly say that with like every test and every needle poke and all those, I had a lot of that. I just didn't have fear. I found joy while I was in the hospital, a lot of joy, which sometimes I almost felt bad because I'm thinking, you know, Bruce is home and he's so worried about me and he's seeing how I am. But in the hospital room with the Lord, I just had such a peace and I was so overwhelmed with joy many days.
I was also furloughed for a few months from work and didn't know when I would be getting back to work and being paid. So I guess a financial burden, you know, looming over me like a dark cloud, not knowing how the job would be or how insurance would be to take care of this.
Understanding how God is sovereign and understanding that he is in control. And
God is always faithful. That was number two. You know, he always has been scripturally as well as in our married life. Mm-hmm. We have so many stories about how he has come through with just miraculous things, and he always will be.
It's just a blessing to see how, like, giving God control, how he not only worked in my life, but he worked in Bruce's life.
What's in store? We don't know exactly what yet. Could be a very big year for us, and a big year of change, I should say. And I just keep going back to it's the comfort and it's the peace. I'm not anxious about it. Mm-hmm. I just know that he's going to provide. He's provided our whole married life, and why would he stop now? He won't. Yeah, he'll keep going. So
he'll keep healing. He'll keep providing.
Bruce and Deb's journey over this last year, in some ways, it has been really beautiful, but in some ways, gosh, it's been really, really devastating. Deborah's diagnosis, Bruce's employment, and a pandemic. I mean, you add all these three things together, and it feels like too much. And I think oftentimes Bruce and Deborah felt like this is too much. But I want you to catch something in their testimony video. I didn't hear anywhere in their testimony this has been too much. Rather, they have learned to lean into their relationship with Jesus. They have learned to lean into one another in brand new and honestly necessary ways. Watching them go through this over this last year, gosh, it has been really, really painful for a lot of us. And many prayers have been lifted up through the different seasons of their life over this year. I have noticed and I've witnessed, and I think many of us have, how Bruce and Deborah have honored God and honored one another as they've gotten through this really difficult year. They have found joy. And this is something that Deborah said in the video. She had found joy. And honestly, she found joy when all reason would say that joy has left the building. Deborah found joy. And I think there's something here for us to learn today. While this may not be your story, a diagnosis of an illness, a loss of employment, and the pandemic and how that's affected you, maybe this isn't quite your story, but I think we can all relate to a season of life that's come upon us that's felt like simply too much. And Deborah, in her wisdom, has acknowledged that she has found something unique in this season of loss and the season of questions that has sustained her through this. It is that she has found joy. They have found joy when usually joy disappears. They have found joy. And that is because the joy that Bruce and Deborah have found isn't based on circumstances. The joy they've rested in is based not in the what is going on around them. It is based in God's promises, which are yes and amen and true and sturdy and foundational. Today, I want to remind us that the resurrection of Jesus, what Easter is all about, it reminds us that absolutely nothing is hopeless, that there is joy for you in any and every season of life. This is a joy that isn't based on a feeling. This is a joy that isn't circumstantial. This is a joy that comes from an entirely different source. This is a joy that comes from a established and a concrete, a steadfast relationship with God, a relationship with God that declares that this isn't going to be the end of it all. It's a relationship with God that declares that whatever hard things are in your way, that He promises to be with you in the middle of all of them. This is the difference between joy and happiness. And happiness needs favorable circumstances, right? You've been happy before, and you're happy when you get a raise. You're happy when your kids are behaving. You're happy when your house is in order. You're happy when work is kind to you, whatever it may be. Happiness generally is circumstantial. But joy is something that is deeper. Joy is richer than your circumstances. It comes from a different place. Joy is alive and well, even when things are falling apart. Bruce and Deborah can attest to that. Listen to James's perspective on joy. In the Bible, there's a book called James, and this is what James says about joy. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." In other words, becoming complete is a journey of testing and trials, but there is joy to be found in it. Not because what you are going through, but because of what God is forming in you as you go. There can be, and there ought to be joy through the trials and temptations of life, not because your circumstances demand it, but because you know that God is at work doing a deep work in you. He is making something complete. He is refining something in you. And it is when we are able to lift our eyes off the things that overwhelm us in this moment, that we come to understand that God is at work in our trials and circumstances. And if you look back at your life, this is probably your story too. There have been some huge and difficult and really challenging seasons of life, seasons of loss and pain and sorrow and grief. But as you, trust me, as you look back and you look at the ways that you have navigated those things in ways that honor God and the people around you, you have come out on the other end with a clear identity of your purpose and your calling, a more resolved relationship with Jesus. And that is one of the things that trials and challenges that they produce is a steadfastness in us. And that is why we can look at some of the things going on around us and we can say, I can lean in, I can have joy because I know that the end result will be better for me. It's going to be hard and it's going to make me unhappy in moments, but I can have joy because Jesus is doing something deep in me in this season of sorrow and loss that only He can do in me that will prepare me for the next thing that He has for me. And there's no other way to have that formation happen in our lives other than lean in when things get really, really hard. So let's look at this verse with a little more detail here. I've got a couple things I want to talk about today as we get closer to our end. I want you to listen in. I want you to lean in a little bit. Wherever you are right now, listening to the sermon, watch and say, I want you to just creep up a little bit in your seat because at the end of today's message, I want to give you an opportunity. You're going to have a big decision to make. We're all going to have a big decision to make because this isn't just a sermon that's meant to entertain you or meant to bridge your time between one Easter egg hunt to another Easter egg hunt. This is good news for you. This is good news for you. So please, please, on the other end of this screen, don't miss that this is good news for you. I want you to hear every single word of it. Okay? So a couple things from this verse I want to talk about today briefly is this. Number one, it's not if, it's when you meet trials, okay? It's not if you meet trials, it's when you meet trials. I think James is very specific in the wording here. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials." It very could have easily been, "Count it all joy, my brothers, if you meet trials." Because it isn't if you meet trials, it is when. There are impending forthcoming in the future trials ahead of you. It is not if they're going to be there, it's when they're going to get there. This is really important for us to realize because trials are an important part of our life. Even more important than experiencing trials is how we honor God through them. You know, people don't often look for trials. They don't often look for testing. But when they happen, we need to find ways to honor God in the middle of them. Again, very few people are looking for a trial, looking for a test. They just simply come our way. And our responsibility is, how are we going to navigate the trials and the challenges ahead of us? We have all navigated trials and challenges in ways that have dishonored God, that have hurt other people and hurt ourselves. So the invitation for you, the first little invitation is this, is that you would be so compelled to start honoring God in the trials and the challenges ahead of you, that you could honor him in those things. This will actually revolutionize how you look at difficult people and difficult situations. If you understand that the trials and the temptations and the situations in your life, that they aren't meant to discourage or distract or slow you down, they are meant to be opportunities and they are meant to be embraced. Because it isn't if challenges come, if trials come, it's when they do. And will you honor God in them? And the second thing is this, everybody, is that there are various kinds. It says that, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. You know, wouldn't it be nice if trials were just all the same, right? Wouldn't it just be nice if every trial, it was like muscle memory. The last time this thing happened, I did this and this was the outcome. If it was only that easy. It would be nice if every challenge and trial was the same so that we could get better and better and better at handling those very same things. But unfortunately, challenges and trials, they're all a little bit different. They're all nuanced, a little bit different. And this requires us to not get comfortable in our own resilience, but rather we have to depend on the Holy Spirit, because every challenge is different. Well, I think about it like this, like muscle memory. I mentioned that just a minute ago, but you may not know about this about me, but I am a cornhole player, a semi-professional. Actually, not at all. I'm a very casual cornhole player. But if you don't know what cornhole is, it's a beanbag game that grown men play. You throw a beanbag into a hole about 20-some feet away. Anyways, it is the bags are weighted the same. They have to be. They are measured the same. They have to be. The distance from one board to the other is always going to be the same. It's regulation. The hole that you're trying to throw the beanbag from, it is a regulated size. And throwing a cornhole bag, it's muscle memory. It's the same motion going the same direction every single time. And literally, you can get better at cornhole just by doing it. It's muscle memory. And I think this is the difference. And I want us to understand that trials aren't like playing cornhole, because the variables are always moving when it comes to trials and challenges in our lives, because things are always changing around us. Actually, I would say that challenges in life are more like an arcade basketball game. Have you seen them at the arcade where the basketball hoop, it's moving forward and backward, and the basketballs are all a little bit different. They're weighted different. They're bigger sizes. They're smaller. They're made out of different fabric and all sorts of things. But this is what I want us to understand, is that when we think of our challenges that we face, that it isn't like cornhole where one procedure always has a similar outcome, but rather challenges life, it's like a moving target with all sorts of different variables. And you and I need to be so in tune to the Holy Spirit, because we need his leading, because every challenge, every trial is different. We can't rest in the way that we've always handled things, because the variables are very different. The challenges are various. There are various kinds of challenges. Like Bruce and Deb can speak to, the trials and challenges, they're all very different. And the way that you navigate one trial isn't the way that you need to navigate another trial. And this is why practicing the presence of God in our life is so important, because we need to be attuned to his direction and be aware that we can't handle today's problems with yesterday's solution. We need to seek Jesus for direction and guidance with how to handle today's challenges. We can't rest in yesterday's revelation. We need a brand new revelation so that we can honor God in those things, because the variables are always changing. And I think this is great news. And this is actually what keeps many of us and keeps our relationship with God vibrant and alive, is that there's this constant necessity for a new and a fresh word from him. We just can't grow comfortable on what God has said in the past. We need to be persistent and resolute in hearing his voice and the whisper of his spirit afresh, because the problems are new and there are new outcomes for us. Number three is this: trials have purpose. It says this in the Hebrews scripture we read: the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, character and integrity are qualities we most want in others, but most avoid personally cultivating in our own lives. Let me say that one time. There's a lot of words there. Character and integrity are qualities we most want in other people, but they are the qualities that most of us avoid cultivating in our own lives. Isn't that a true statement? When we're looking for someone to trust, maybe it's a doctor or a real estate agent or a partner or a friend, we're looking for character and integrity. And we hope that they are striving for those things in their lives. But how many of us are actually striving for those things personally? When we don't see the purpose of trials and testing, we just want to survive them, right? And when we don't understand that God, that there's a purpose behind what we're going through, we're not looking for the clue. We're not looking for the sharpening to happen in us. We're just looking to get out on the other end of this hard season. But there's something about us as people who want to grow into Christ's likeness, that when we look at the challenges that are ahead of us and in front of us and that we may be in right this second, that it isn't about escaping what we're in to get to someplace more comfortable. It is about discerning what God is doing in our lives right now. Because I trust me, that He, in challenges and in trials, God has a way of defining and giving clarity to our purpose in that season that He can't in any other season of life. And this is why James says that we can count our trials as joy, because they serve a purpose. Now, if you are in a very cozy season of life and everything seems to be going great all around you, then you're like, okay, yeah, I'll just file that away for later. And if you are in the middle of a desperate situation, you're probably thinking, this sounds like baloney to me. Like, this doesn't sound right. Trust me, this is true. From my perspective, and I think if you'll actually do the hard work of looking back in your life, you will see in those moments of pain and heartache and loss and trials and challenges, you had the opportunity to connect your heart to God's way in those seasons of life that you don't in the other seasons of life. So there is joy for you as you press into that relationship with Jesus, even when things aren't going well. And trust me, I think that the truth is this, is that He will give you a revelation of your purpose and your calling in those seasons. So today we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, and we see that joy actually played a big part in what Jesus did. And I love what the author of Hebrews says here in Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to what the author here says about joy and the resurrection, about joy and the cross. It says this in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen to this, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus suffered through the crucifixion. Jesus suffered through the cross, and he counted it as joy. He counted it as joy because he knew that his suffering and his resurrection were meant for you. Jesus counted the suffering of his death and his resurrection as joy because he knew what it meant for you. Jesus didn't suffer on the cross. Jesus wasn't risen from the grave for his own accolades and praise. He went through these things for you. And it's because he had this identity and this purpose behind his pain that he was able to navigate it in a way that honored God and thus has been good news to you. Easter reminds us of a very important principle. Because of Jesus, every hopeless situation has a joy-filled ending. Every hopeless situation has a joy-filled ending. Jesus entered into a hopeless situation, but there was a joy-filled ending. And because God is with you, because the presence of Jesus is right here with you, whatever is hopeless that you are in, whatever is hopeless that is coming at you, there's joy in it because Jesus has overcome the grave and he can overcome anything that is there. If you are a Christian for a while, if you've been a Christian for a while, or if you're curious about Christianity, let me make something very simple. The Easter story can be more than a story that you hear once in a while. Literally, the Easter story can be your story. The Easter story can be your story. Jesus confronted unimaginable trials and he suffered and he went through pain for you so that you wouldn't have to. The joy of the resurrection isn't about how it benefited Jesus. The joy of the resurrection isn't about how it benefited Jesus. The joy about the resurrection is what it means for you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to let this be the most distinctly different Easter that you've ever had. Year by year, you've been reminded about what Easter means to the world. You've been reminded about what the resurrection means to the world. But I want us to make this real personal today. Yes, the resurrection is good news for the world. Yes, Easter is good news for the world. But I want you to hear me say it to you directly. The resurrection is good news for you. Because the resurrection of Jesus, it tells me that there's joy in every hopeless situation. Every hopeless situation. The resurrection of Jesus means that there's joy for you in every hopeless situation, every hopeless moment, every hopeless season of life. There is joy for you because as painful as that may be, Jesus has endured more painful things than that. And he has come out the other end victorious, and he will ensure that you come out the other end full of joy as well. So here's the good news of Jesus for you today. Jesus came to earth to live here on earth, to put up with so many of the things that we put up with. And Jesus did it in a way that honored God and everyone every single time. Yeah, he did life perfect. He did life without sin. And Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus paid the price of sin because sin distorts relationships. You've experienced that. Sin distorts relationships, not only between you and me, but sin distorts your relationship with God. And because sin is so prevalent in and around our lives, sin makes it hard to relate to one another, but also to relate to God. But because of what Jesus has done, he paid the price for that offense so that you and I, through faith in Jesus, can enter back into profound relationships with one another where we strengthen, honor, and encourage one another, but also so that we can have a united relationship with God again, the relationship that he always wanted with us. And so the good news of Jesus is this, is that he has done everything he's needed to do to pave a way so that you and I can walk in wholeness together as peers, as well as unity with God again. He's done all of it. And the only requirement for us is that we put our faith in this Jesus. So I'm going to pray a prayer today. And as we wrap up here today and you get on to the other activities of your Easter, this might be the best moment of your Easter. I hope it is. But this is the opportunity I want to give you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a decision. And decisions are big, right? Decisions have huge ramifications. The choice today to tune out and to not pay attention and just get thinking about what's next today, that's a decision that you can make. Or you can make the decision to like really lean in a little bit here, to get a little bit more curious than you've ever been before. Like maybe the good news about Jesus is actually good news for you. Like maybe the good news about Jesus, it isn't just for the people around me, but it is personally for you. And the way that we enter into a relationship is the way that we enter into so many relationships. We enter into it boldly and confidently. And we own our stuff and we make an invitation that we're going to do this life together through good stuff and bad stuff. So I'm going to pray this prayer and I'm not going to do the heavy sale for you. It's not like I'm a used car salesman, like what is it going to take for me to get you in a car today? That's not my approach at all. I think that right now, and I think this is for somebody that's watching right now, something's just turning inside of you. And this hopelessness that you've been feeling for such a long time, it feels heavier than it ever has. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. works. The Holy Spirit puts pressure on those parts of our lives that don't belong anymore, that we ought not carry anymore. So if you're feeling more hopeless this moment than you have in a long time, it is because God is pointing to and identifying something in your life that is a heaviness that you ought not carry. And actually, in a moment's time, you can let it all go. And you can walk in the freedom that Jesus has for you. He saved you and he set you free so that you could live as a free person, a hope-filled person, not a hopeless person. So here's the prayer. I'm going to pray it. Many of you will probably pray it with me. And I think if you prayed this prayer before, then pray it again. And if this is your first time, then pray it with me. Just repeat after these words after me, wherever you may be. God, thank you so much for sending your son for me. Thank you for paying the price of sin for me. And today I choose to surrender my life and follow you. I choose to let go of the things that weigh me down and I give them to you. And instead, I pick up your perfect peace, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. I trade my offenses for your joy. And today I repent of my sin and I choose to follow you. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, that's awesome. What a great Easter for you. Like literally the best Easter ever just happened for you. And every Easter from here on out will be colored much differently in light of the decision that you just made. And we exist, Vintage Faith, to help you in your relationship with Jesus. We say here at Vintage Faith that there's two things you need to have a thriving relationship with Jesus. You need a Bible and a friend, and we've got a bunch of each. So please take a moment, grab your phone wherever you are, and I want you to text YES to Jesus. One word, YES to Jesus, to 94,000. If you text YES to Jesus to 94,000, someone will be in touch with you, giving you everything you need so you can start your relationship with Jesus off on the right foot. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for joining with me today. I hope you have a terrific Easter the rest of your day. Get ready to say boom shakalaka because he is risen. Boom shakalaka, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday online. Let's be the church.